What's one of the greatest stories that you have experienced when you were hunting?
Well, I think for me, one of the most intense places I've been is the catacombs in Paris, which there's a photograph on your website this evening.
Compliments of you.
Yes, of course, my pleasure. The catacombs in Paris, it's such a great story, first of all. It goes back all the way to 60 BCE when the Romans were first quarrying the limestone to build a city where Paris is today. And over time, cities grow as they do. And the limestone was no longer, you couldn't quarry it just from the surface. You had to start tunneling because there's now buildings in the way. And this went on for centuries. And in the mid-1700s, all kinds of problems were happening in Paris. The city was getting very dense, very populated. The buildings were getting closer together, taller and heavier. And they were tunneling underneath, 300 kilometers of tunnels. So you're hollowing out the ground, and everything up above is getting heavy. So buildings are collapsing. The ground below has just been hollowed out and collapsing. And there's another problem going on in Paris. When you build a city or a town or whatever, you put your cemeteries on the outskirts. Well, over the centuries, Paris grew and it spread out, and what was the outskirts has become downtown, and the cemeteries were enclosed and had no more room to grow. And in that culture, it was very important that you be buried with your kin. So it got to the point where priests were taking bribes to put bodies in the cemetery.
Oh,
they weren't even being buried anymore. There was no room. You just basically threw the corpse in with the others. And, of course, there was a horrible smell for blocks around these places. And literally, corpses were spilling into the streets. It was creating a real health hazard. So they solved two problems with the catacombs, with these tunnels underneath. They had to close them off, first of all, for safety reasons, and they needed to empty the cemeteries. Now, we know, messing with a place of the dead is kind of a universal taboo.
That's sacrilegious, isn't it?
That's right. You just don't do it. You don't, I think we have a basic human understanding of that. But at the same time, the living will always prevail. And in this case, they had to. So they moved these bones, 30 generations of human bones, millions and millions of them, down into these tunnels. And, you know, if you've ever thought you have a bad job, you know, imagine being
I got a great job.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I mean, compared to that, who doesn't? But, you have to move all these bones down. And I was, when you go down there, it's really something because you're 30 meters below the city of Paris. It's very quiet. I was down there completely alone on the day, the first time I went. And it's very low light. You can hear the drip, drip, drip of water coming through the limestone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a light crunch under your under the gravel as you're walking along. And to give you a sense of the size, I'm 6'2", and there's plenty of places where I had to duck. And if I outstretched my arms in both directions, my fingertips are just about touching the wall on either side. So that's the space that we're talking about. And so you're walking through, and I knew it was down there, but I didn't know exactly where, and I'm going through various tunnels. And then there's an archway that says, Arrête, c'est l'empire de la mort, which, forgive my hard French, but that says, stop, this is the empire of the dead. And as you walk through, you're greeted by millions of human skeletons, millions of skulls staring, blankly back at you.
Oh,
and it really takes your breath away.
Hundreds of years old.
That's right. And what's incredible about it is, we have no idea who was who. We know which cemetery they came from. But you've got noblemen mixed with peasants, great-great-great-grandparents mixed with their great-great-great-grandchildren in this very macabre, intricate pattern of bones. Picture a retaining wall of human leg bones and arm bones mixed in with skulls that could run in various patterns. I saw Valentine hearts, many a cross, arcs, various patterns. And I was thinking, my goodness, why would you do this? Why would you put the bones in this way? Wouldn't you just stack them up? And I thought about it, and I said, this was the only way they could show some respect, was to make it a very deliberate, intricate, time-consuming pattern. And you start to appreciate that, this is 30 generations of people that had to give up their eternal resting place for the sake of the city of Paris. And it kind of makes it okay as you walk through almost a mile of this just winding tunnels with all these skulls around you. And when I was down there, again, completely alone, I had probably the closest to what I would consider my own ghost experience, and that was I kept seeing darting shadows, and they were much too big to be any kind of animal that
or a bat flying by or anything like
that's
that.
That's right. I mean, anything that would be that big to cast a shadow, I would clearly have seen it because the tunnel is just not that big. And it wasn't my shadow. And so I kept seeing this out of the corner of my eye, but even to this day, I'm not quite ready to make the leap that that was truly a ghost. But it was definitely interesting, and you know, I went from an overwhelming creepy feeling in the beginning of that journey to one of kind of an appreciation by the end. And it's just, you know, again, you're in the place of a place of the dead, and if you're not moved by that in some way, I think you're not human.
Do you believe at this point that the soul is the same as the spirit is the ghost? Okay, if you see a ghost of a little girl, let's say, or a farmer who died years ago and he hasn't passed on, is that the soul?
You know, I think soul is more of a religious term. And I recognize some people use soul and spirit interchangeably.
Right.
I think that's okay if you're talking from your own religious upbringing. But what is a ghost? That's just the million-dollar question, and I've been working a lot of years to try to figure that out. And I mean, I think we have some ideas. I think in some cases, a ghost can often be nothing intelligent whatsoever. Maybe it's just an impression left on an area. And you're seeing it almost like a movie playing over and over. It's not there. It's not intelligent. It's no one that can interact. But it was there at one point in time. And for some reason, some people can pick this up, almost like tuning into a radio station. Some people are equipped and can catch a glimpse of something from the past. In other cases, maybe it's some kind of thought projection. You know, a good example would be you're walking through the battlefields of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And you have a good understanding of the history and what happened there with 51,000 people, you know, dying in a matter of just a few days. And you somehow project what you're thinking and interpret that as a ghost experience. And then, of course, there are those that are very significant, and those are the interactive ones where you see the little girl or the farmer and actually hold a conversation where it's very clearly interactive. It's not some chance glimpse of something.